This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
We have a clip. You want to set it up for us?
I'd like to, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll just roll it.
And now, the whole show's clip of the day.
This one's pretty interesting, and I said this for years now. Some people have mixed feelings about this certain quarterback. I think he's must-see television. Anytime he talks, I listen. He has a way with words. Doesn't mean I always agree with him. But Aaron Rodgers was on the Pat McAfee show, and he had McAfee had his regular questions for Rodgers. They're on site there for Pittsburgh Steelers training camp coverage, and Rodgers took that as the opportunity to go off in a completely different direction. Here is that direction.
Over the years of the past.
I'm going to plead the fifth.
Okay.
Okay.
Like
gotta
that.
Love that guy.
Okay.
Like that absolute coward, Tony Fauci. Absolute coward.
Yeah. It's back, baby.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, 111
times. You got a pardon, and you're in front, and you pleaded over 100 times at the White House? What are you scared of, Tony?
Yeah.
I thought you were the science.
Yeah.
I am science, and you get up there and you can't answer a question?
Yeah.
What are we doing? And how much time did the network spend to that? How much time did they spend on my responses every week, on my vaccination status, on Taylor and Travis's wedding? Did they do even a minute? Did they do even a minute on Tony Fauci?
No, I don't think I've heard anything.
I bet they didn't.
But on that note,
then there was another scandal this offseason too, involving a voter for MVP, for Coach of the Year. How much time did your network spend?
Where's
your
camp?
Did your network spend on that?
Our network.
I wish
this is awesome.
Okay. Go back to Fauci.
Yeah.
Go back to the coward Tony Fauci in science.
Hold on now.
Who's spending the entire time writing in his diary about how fun it is to be famous? You got to be kidding me.
Okay, so on that note,
what are you going to say about me now?
Debate him.
What are you
going to
say about me now?
No, I got no debate here. You had a 500.
No, seriously, what are they going to say about me now? Now that you can't talk about the COVID stuff, because obviously it was made, in a lab in China. That's like not even questionable anymore. Tony Fauci is an absolute criminal. I'm on good terms with my family. I'm on good terms with my family. What are you going to say now?
Yeah,
what are you going to say now?
I want to let you know. It's been a fun ride for you, I would assume, over the last couple.
It's been a great life and a great career. And it's nice to be sitting on this side now, especially after that coward played the fifth over 100 times.
Okay.
I thought you had a pardon there, Tony. Why couldn't you answer one question the entire time?
Okay, we got 4 minutes until the heart out.
Yeah, I got four more minutes.
Like,
but we keep this going. We keep it going.
Like anything else?
I got at least 4 minutes.
Okay.
There's a lot of silence, though, but I will say this. I got to give flowers to Stephen A. Smith, my old friend Stephen A., because he was man enough to actually admit and apologize to Kyrie Irving.
Yes,
so I
got
to give a shout out to my guy, Stephen A. You are not a coward. I appreciate you.
Okay, can we talk about, we'll wrap up that conversation.
Other than that, there's been a lot of silence, I feel like, like 19 seconds about one subject. Oh, don't talk about that. We can talk about Rex Ryan's foot fetish, but please don't talk about, anything else right now. Don't talk about, any scandals involved. Don't talk about, pop culture. Talk about Taylor and Travis's wedding. Yeah, what do the insiders know about that? But don't talk about, that actually has to do with our business or righting wrongs.
Can we remind people a little bit why you're doing all this? Can we remind people?
No, I don't care.
Okay, so in 2020, we were there for all of this.
2021.
In 2021, Aaron Rodgers was criticized heavily about the way he went about the COVID vaccination and how he allegedly misled the media about his COVID-19 vaccination status and all that. He did not get the COVID vaccination, if you're wondering. And he took it as a moment to say, you know what? Yeah, I have my moment. I'm going to take my moment here. Good for Rodgers. Seriously, good for Rodgers.
It was pretty funny. I love a good rant that has nothing to do with
yes.
the topic
and
on
dude,
hand.
Michael,
everybody knows
there
that.
There's so many people. Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer, okay? He's a Hall of Famer. He's probably a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Well, there is that one voter.
He's going to be, yeah, well, who knows? If Bill Belichick's not a first ballot Hall of Famer, I don't know what a first ballot Hall of Famer is. But Aaron Rodgers is. And you had people in the media, because of the COVID-19 stuff, that were like, oh, I can't stand Aaron Rodgers. He just needs to retire. He's not even that good. Blah, 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 blah. Because of your personal views of him and how he handled COVID. And yeah, you did have Stephen A. come out and apologize for Kyrie Irving because in Brooklyn, obviously, he, in most places, you couldn't play. So he didn't play in home games when he was with Brooklyn because he did not get the COVID-19 vaccination, and Stephen A. was critical of him. A lot of people were critical of him. And there were a lot of people that I know personally, a couple people I know personally, that lost their jobs because they were not willing to get the COVID-19 vaccination because in the sports world, to go to games, you had to have it. Full disclosure, I had to have it. I had to get it to go to games, any game. Any games to do, press, whatever, had to have it. Had to make a decision. And I've had COVID since several times. And the vaccination, the day or two after I got that, was way worse than when I actually had COVID. That's just me. I don't. Obviously, that's not the case for everybody else, but that's just me. Do I feel slighted? Do I kind of feel like, man, I shouldn't have probably got that now? Yeah, I absolutely do, 100%.
Yeah, as far as the sickness goes, I was actually sicker after getting the
yes.
vaccine
yeah.
than after getting... I had a mysterious illness that the August of 2020, and I stayed away from work for 2 days.
Yeah.
And I was like, it doesn't feel that bad. I'm just a little stuffed up.
And listen, I'm not belittling it because there were people that lost their lives. There were people more susceptible to this, and it was awful for them. My mother-in-law lost her sense of smell. She still can't smell anything. So I'm not like belittling it. But I am belittling how this has all been handled with
or
Fauci
mishandled.
And mishandled, the diary that's come out, the disinformation. Is that right? Disinformation? Is that the word?
I think it's misinformation.
Misinformation, the misinformation that was out there. There was a lot of that. That in, you know, maybe even masks weren't necessarily what the big hubbub was.
Or 6 feet. That was just a
made up
number
stuff.
That they picked.
Michael, they did bubble ball. They allowed players to sweat and probably spit all over the place, and that was all over each other's body. And then when the game was over, brrr, social distance. And we were all supposed to act like that was normal. I remember, I don't know if you were with us, we went to a restaurant downtown, and we walked in, and you had to wear your mask walking in when there was nobody around you. Because you're walking in through the front of the restaurant. But then when you go sit down where there are people, you were allowed to take your mask off. And we were told that was going to fix it. It's like, wait, when I walked in, I had to have my mask on and there was nobody around me. But now that I'm sitting down and my food's here, I am miraculously not contagious or will not be able to pick this up in any way. When there's a dude and his wife in the booth right next to me and there's a family over here right next to me. It was wild. So, yes, when I hear Aaron Rodgers go off that way, I'm sorry. We were fed a bunch of stuff that we were told was going to work, and businesses, people lost their businesses. People didn't say farewell to their loved ones because they couldn't visit them in a hospital. And, yes, I do think that it's time to talk about that. And I'm not a political person, but that was my biggest beef was, Michael, we had businesses that advertised with us that kept this station going that were forced to shut their doors because they couldn't open. They couldn't last long enough without opening their doors and pushing their product out onto people. So, yes, I do think, and for Fauci to not answer questions, that's a big deal, man. People want to know and they deserve to know. And I don't care what aisle of the political line you're on, you deserve to know.
Yeah, I recall the other day saying that pleading the fifth doesn't necessarily make you guilty, but in this case, with all the evidence against him, and let's give people on one side of the aisle or the other side of the aisle some credit. We were all lied to about this by a guy whose medical knowledge is just ridiculous. He had like some theories about AIDS in the 80s that were wrong, that were flat out wrong. I mean, the guy's just a loser. He's one of those losers that didn't have any friends. And so once he got power, he did whatever he wanted.
Yes. And it was, and I'll tell you this, man, if something like this ever happens again, it's going to be hard to tell people to follow those ridiculous rules.
Yeah, and it's so dumb that it became so political.
And it was ridiculous. I went to Estes Park, and I'm not knocking Estes Park, but we went into like a grocery store to get stuff, and there was arrows you had to follow. Arrows. I had some buddies with me from Nebraska that got yelled at from a dude that's like, "You got to follow the arrows." And the Nebraska dudes are like, we don't do that, man. We're not doing that. Just stay on the arrow. If you stay on the arrow, you're not going to get it. But if you veer off the path a little bit, good luck.
And you can't can't blame those stores for wanting to
follow
the rules
what they're told
when they were
lied to
by this one guy who probably helped create it.
They're doing what they had to do to try to stay open. And they were just ridiculous rules. And you guys all know what I'm talking about. So good on Aaron Rodgers. I'm a fan of Aaron Rodgers. I'm sorry. I don't agree with everything he says.
But he's weird.
He's a weird guy, but I'm a weird guy too. You're a weird guy too. So
that's not true. Okay. You want to know the difference between a conspiracy theory and reality?
I do want to know.
2 years. I mean, I feel like all these different these things that I didn't believe that I gave conspiracy theorists a hard time about.
Yeah,
I'm like,
I'm with you.
Oh, that's
because
true.
I will
were
be
doing
honest.
That
like,
in the 50s.
I went into it and I'm like, you know, I want to be able to go to games because it helps me do my job better. So I need to do this. And now I'm like, I should have just held out. Should have just held out and whatever. 17 minutes after the hour, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, going to join us next. We'll take a quick break here. Keep it on the whole show. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Your local news during your commute. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays at 6 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Joining me now, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, the voice of NCAA reason, as we've come to know him on this show. Mark, my friend, always good to catch up with you. I'm not having fun anymore following all these updates in the NCAA, Mark. I somewhat found it interesting. I find these conversations interesting, but every 5 seconds, there's just something new, my friend, and I'm ready to football. Let's just get to football.
Well, I'm with you there. You know, they opened up camp yesterday, so I was down to practice in Colorado Springs yesterday. But Gary and I drove down together, and so we were talking all about the, you know, now that the Big Ten has decided to go along with the Save College Act, that issue, Reggie, from my understanding, had been tabled. And they weren't going to address that until after the season. But now that the Big Ten is on board, apparently that will come back for a vote at some point this week. And then, of course, we have the ruling about players being able to come back and get another year of eligibility. They went from the class of 2022. And by the way, I didn't realize this yesterday. Jerry was explaining this, according to some folks that he talked to, that if you signed an NFL or NBA contract, you're not able to come back, which is different, of course, than what we've seen. And so, you know, listen, right now, the only thing that's consistent about college athletics is the inconsistency.
Well, and I've even heard it further, too, if you've signed any kind of a professional type of contract. You know, our guy, Mark, Brock Wisney, great friend of ours here. We did the Brock Wisney Show, big part of this lawsuit. I know he already signed a contract with Spain, so I'm guessing, and I'm not 100% confident, but I'm guessing that since he signed that already, he's not going to get that option. So that part of it's pretty fascinating, too. The NCAA, this one, they're really fighting back on more than a lot of them I've seen.
Well, but, you know, here's the thing, and this is what Gary and I talked about yesterday. So everything you said is correct there, but they've already opened that door. You've already had people who have signed professional contracts who have come back, and so I don't know how on legal grounds whether they're going to be able to defend that. And listen, you and I already know this, but that just came down here in the last, what, 36, 48 hours, and the lawsuit's already filed against that. So I don't know how you've, you know, the horses are out of the barn there. If you've already let somebody come back that has signed a professional contract and now you want to shut that door, I think that's going to be kind of legal. Let's just say it'll be shaky ground to be standing on at this point.
Mark Johnson joining us. It's the thing. I just can't make heads or tails with a lot of this stuff that just continues to pour out the amendments, the edits to this. It's like, when they were coming out with the Declaration of Independence, Mark, you know, there were so many edits on that thing. We had to scratch this out because one guy didn't, congressman didn't like this. So that's what I feel like is happening with the NCAA. And then you're going to have someone finally at the end just say, okay, let's sign it and get on with this thing.
Yeah, for your listeners out there, they didn't know that Brady Hoge was not only well-versed in college athletics, but the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Why do I think you were totally lying and making up everything you just said about the Declaration of Independence?
I did watch the musical 1776 on the 4th of July, Mark, and it is. I'm not a musical guy, but that is a sneaky good movie, I'll tell you that.
Really? That's the basis of your end knowledge,
yep.
Right there, is watching the musical?
Most of my information comes from what I watch on the movie. Like, I for the longest time just thought Mel Gibson was William Wallace, Mark. I've got to be honest. I just thought that was the guy.
Well, that's like me saying that my knowledge of opera comes from watching, that episode of Bugs Bunny back in the day where he was an opera singer, right? So, yeah, I'm not sure that's the best foundation educationally for you and me to be talking about.
I had you thinking I was smart for a second, and then I had to drop that knowledge, and then you're going, oh, that's why. Okay, this guy's back to being an idiot. Back to square one with Mark Johnson. Mark, how has what have you seen? What is the old line? What did you know and when did you know it when you were over at fall camp watching the Buffs play in practice in Colorado Springs?
Well, first off, it was hotter than Hades down there. It was about 102 degrees. And so they were out there. They're working this week at Fountain Fort Carson High School. They're staying in the dorms at UCCS. And so, you know, that you're virtually to Pueblo by the time you get to Fountain Fort Carson High School down there. Great facilities, nice setup they've got going down there. You know, day one, they came out, guys, you know, had their hair on fire, right? You expect that on day number one. Coaches were energetic, players were energetic. Installation is going on at this point in time, so there was a lot of work, 11-on-11, you know, making sure that the guys had the right assignments. It's interesting watching, being the early installation of that go-go offense for Brennan Marion's kind of interesting because that was my first opportunity. You know, what we saw in the spring game, by the way, Brady, was kind of watered down. And so yesterday watching them, even on day one, with the different formations and things they set up with, doing what I do, I had to make about five notes on that. Next time I talk to Brennan, I got to go, what do you call that? How do I describe that? Because he's creative in terms of what he does with his formations to kind of set the defense up. And so that was kind of fun to see yesterday. I thought the two quarterbacks, maybe the main two guys, that of course being Juju Lewis and then Isaac Wilson, both of them I thought looked very sharp yesterday. I still think that's going to be an interesting competition as we work our way through the month of August. And of course, they're going to be down there in the Springs through Friday. We've got a big speaking event with Prime and boosters and community leaders on Friday we're going to do, and then they'll come back up to Boulder. But the idea behind being down there for these guys was kind of a team bonding period because you get so many new guys. So they thought it would be a good idea to get them away from Boulder, get them in dorms. They're rooming together, not running back to their own apartments, and so they're trying to build that really cohesiveness with this group.
That's interesting, too, Mark, talking about the quarterback competition, and you're saying, hey, this is going to be a pretty good battle between the two, between Julian Lewis and Isaac Wilson.
I think it will be, and Prime has talked about that. No, nobody's being ordained here. We're not just giving somebody a job because they were a highly recruited kid. Now, Julian's talented, we well know that. He was the number two quarterback coming out over a year ago in his class, of course. And so he is in a position where you expect him to get that job. But listen, Isaac Wilson's got some pretty good bloodlines. I mean, we know what his brother was in the NFL, what he did in college. He's a talented kid. We saw him start against the Buffaloes here just over a year ago. And so he's a guy that's got a chance here. I think that it's closer than I think maybe the average fan understands. And I think the staff is very good with that. They want competition in that spot. They want to make sure that, okay, if Julian's going to get this job, he's going to earn this job. They're just not going to give it to him. And so I think that's good for this team. And then with this system, And I think you can maybe adjust this if you burn the mirroring a little bit. But this system is a system that runs the quarterback a good bit. And in college athletics, when you see that quarterback run that much, there's a chance guys are going to get dinged up. So you better have one really good one, but you better have two, okay? And so I think we're going to probably see both of those guys at different times this season, just simply based upon that. But I think right now, Julian is the leader in the clubhouse, and Isaac's putting some pretty good pressure on him.
Well, it'll be good. And you mentioned Isaac Wilson and, you know, his brother. I mean, they all pretty much look like they're twins or triplets or quadruplets or whatever. I don't know how you tell one from the other, to be honest.
Did you say quadruplets?
Yeah, is that what it is?
Quadruplets.
Did I say quadruplets again? I need to watch another documentary. We'll get to that later. But yeah, they all do look very much alike.
But yeah, he does look like his brother. Yeah, he certainly does. And he's got a presence about him that I'm kind of impressed by. When I watch him, guys kind of rally around him. And so he's one of those kind of guys that I think other players on the team kind of rally around. And so that's why I think he's going to be part of whatever they do this season. He's going to be part of it. Like I said, right now Juju is in the leader's position. But I think there's going to be a lot of good competition over the next month.
Mark, how complicated, again, from your first glance, and like you said, you're taking notes already, but how complicated is that go-go offense?
It's really kind of interesting because he has taken little pieces from a number of different systems, and he works them into. So you may see a formation that really looks like it is going to be some form of option, okay? And then they'll be running the principles off of that. Will be more of a kind of a vertical stretch type of approach. And so it really is interesting to watch, and Gary and I were chatting about that yesterday. Gary a couple times said, well, that's interesting you do that. He said to me at one point, I asked him about a formation that he saw. And I said, what's going on here? And he said, Mark, that's something that as a football coach, you used to say, boy, it would be interesting if we tried that, but that's not the way you do it. And so Brennan is, I don't want to use the word courageous, but he's creative enough to kind of take these concepts, which have been foundational in football, and tweak them just a little bit to do things that don't necessarily fit in tradition, but they're things that coaches talked about and said, yeah, that doesn't quite fit what we're doing, so we're not going to do it. So Gary says it's interesting what Brennan's done in that regard. He's gotten very creative and a little bit loose with concepts just to give the defense something to think about and then running some very sound things off of that. And so it really is kind of fun to watch. And I think fans will get a kick out of it. And I don't expect from game one that he's going to come out and you're going to see, you know, everything installed that he has. You know, it's going to be a certain percentage. But as the year goes on, you're going to continue to see, I think, him expand upon that thing and find and utilize some of these formations and some of these motions that maybe you don't see a lot of that are kind of unique, and that's why the defense is going to be back on the field a little bit. But he'll expand as the year goes on.
Mark, it'll be fun. That'll be another, you know, kind of interesting aspect to what the Buffaloes roll out here coming up very, very soon. Always appreciate the insight. And, yeah, it's 7076 is on Disney Plus there, Mark, if you want to go check that out at some point.
Well, I'll check that out. You go back and find that old opera version of Bugs Bunny, and that way we can both talk education about what we're going to get next. But we'll be more refined men by next week than Brittany.
100%. You don't have to tell me twice. Looney Tunes. I mean, I try to watch that at least two or three times a week, so I'm just to add that episode in should be short work for me.
Remember when Bugs Bunny, he was the conducting, and he had the opera singer hit that high note?
Oh, yeah.
And then he walked away, and his glove hung there in the air for a long time? Remember that? That's the best part of that entire episode.
You learn a lot from Bugs. You really do, Mark. Thank you so much, my friend, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, brother. See you. Bye.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. In fairness, Michael, 1776, a lot of schools use that, okay, to show their students because it's very close to historically accurate.
When did it come out?
The movie? The musical?
Yeah.
Like the 70s?
Did it really?
Yeah. They didn't make it actually when it, you know, they didn't. It wasn't like a documentary. It wasn't like actually 1776 when it came out.
I know, but like,
didn't have the cameras yet.
I've only heard of it.
It's good.
I haven't seen it.
I think you would actually like it. I think you should give it a shot. It's actually really good.
Any opera singers?
Well, they sing. Kind of opera.
Do they have the,
yes,
the opera?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like opera.
Yeah, they have a little bit of that in there. It's pretty good.
More opera coming up.
Can I count on you to check it out?
Is that what we're reviewing? Oh, we haven't been reviewing movies.
No, as soon as you made the edit with Derb's name in there, we haven't done a movie review. Well, it's a little busy now, Mike. A little busy. busy time, and we're looking at the AFC West this week. We glanced at the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday. How about the Raiders? The Las Vegas Raiders, 3-14 last year, 1-5 in the AFC West. They made a lot of major changes. How will they look this upcoming season under Clint Kubiak in his first year as the head coach? 35 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Here in Colorado, doing business is more than a transaction. It's a handshake, a neighbor helping a neighbor. And at Bank of Colorado, that's the way it's been since 1978. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado. And as Colorado's largest family-owned bank, we're built on personal service and a commitment to giving back. From local schools to community events, we invest where you live, work, and grow. Because this is more than business. It's home. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I should have had you come in with some football music, Michael. That's my bad. Since we're taking a look at the AFC West and the Las Vegas Raiders.
Well, it's the Raiders, so they haven't played football in a while.
All right. 3-14 last year, 1-5 in the AFC West. Clint Kubiak coming over to start as a head coach. First time he was with the Seattle Seahawks as the offensive coordinator last year. He was the offensive coordinator for the Saints in 2024. So he's been around the block a little bit already. One of his first acts was bringing over a buddy from that was with Seattle with him, former Denver Bronco, had a couple of stints with the Broncos, and that's Rick Dennison as the offensive line coach. So Rick Dennison, can he work some of that Broncos magic that he's had over the years? That guy's been around the league a lot, too. I think his last stint with the Broncos was actually 2015 and 2016. Then he went to the Bills. He was with the Jets, Minnesota. All over the place. And he spent some time in college side of things, then back in the NFL for the Saints. So he was with Clint Kubiak a lot. And he's going to be tasked with getting this probably one of the worst lines in the league, getting them ready to go. Top three storylines surrounding the Las Vegas Raiders. Can they get better? That's going to be interesting to see. The quarterback situation, obviously number one. It sounds like it's Kirk Cousins' job right now, but we all know it's just a matter of time until Fernando Mendoza is going to take over. Can Kirk delay that? Can he find ways to win games with this reimagined Raiders offense that has guys like Brock Bowers and Ashton Jeanty that, I mean, Bowers was phenomenal last year, and they had a terrible O-line. Quarterback play was bad, and yet he put together monster numbers, monster for a rookie, 64 receptions, 680 yards, and 7 touchdowns. Guy like Ashton Jeanty, Mike, they had major dysfunction on their offensive line, bad play calling, bad quarterback play, and still ran for 975 yards, 1,300, almost 1,400 yards from scrimmage. So if you're a Raiders fan, you're looking at that going, two of our kind of pieces we're wanting to build around, and Brock Bowers and Ashton Jeanty actually put up pretty good numbers considering the train wreck that was the offense and the offensive line and the play calling and everything for the Raiders last year. Another key storyline here, well, obviously it's Rick Dennison. What can he do to improve the worst offensive line in the league? And then, of course, Max Crosby, the trade that never really happened, or I guess it did happen, but he didn't pass the physical, and then he had to go back to Las Vegas. They were going to get two first-rounders for him, but Crosby failed the physical. They scrapped the trade, and he found himself back with the Las Vegas Raiders. Seems to be in pretty good spirits about the whole thing now, so we'll see how that one works out. But those are key storylines. What you need to know about the Raiders. Everything about them was bad. The Pete Carroll experiment was weird. I don't even know why they did it. They were pretty much up and down the board the worst offense in the league. 32nd in total offense, 28th in passing, 32nd in rushing, 32nd in points. They took on 64 sacks last year, 32nd. Third down percentage, they were 28th. Awful. And defensively, they were average. And I wonder if you're going against the Raiders, you're like, you know what? Their offense isn't going to do anything, so we don't have to do crazy work here. We just have to make sure we score more than 14.5 points per game, per contest against them, because that's what the Raiders' offense was putting up. So I just wonder how much of playing the Raiders and knowing, hey, we don't have to air it out. We don't have to get super creative here. We can go win games ugly and still win. And that's why their defense was kind of pretty much middle of the road. They were 14th in total, 14th in passing, 17th in rushing yards allowed. There was nothing good about the Raiders. I mean, really. Now, key additions, they now have the highest paid center in the NFL, Tyler Linderbaum. So they are 100% trying to make that line the emphasis. Rick Dennison brought in, paying Tyler Linderbaum big-time money, trying to get, you know, your quarterback play, not resting everything on a rookie quarterback, but saying, Kirk Cousins, can you try to sturdy the ship here a bit until Fernando Mendoza is ready? And maybe if Kirk Cousins and the Raiders start rolling early on, then maybe Mendoza doesn't see a start in his first year, aside from perhaps an injury. It's hard for me to think that this overhaul for the Raiders is going to take place overnight. I can't imagine that it will. I mean, they had a lot of issues defensively. Offensive line, as I said, was bad. They also dealt with a lot of injuries on that offensive line. It's difficult. Now, they have some studs. You know, Brock Bowers, they brought in Jalen Naylor from Minnesota, who's looking for a bigger role than he had with the Minnesota Vikings, where pretty much for his time, he was, you know, kind of a third guy to Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. But now with a bigger role, will he be able to take his game further? Also alongside Brock Bowers, who plays a lot like just kind of a big wide receiver. And again, I said, you know, Bowers had a pretty good year last year, considering all the issues that the Raiders had on their offensive line. John texting in saying, I say the Raiders win 7 or 8 ball games next year. I don't. Are they going to be
wishful thinking?
They're going to be better than the. They're going to be better than the Chiefs.
No,
I'm not sure where I have. I think the Chiefs are going to be bad. I have this feeling, Michael, and we went over it yesterday. I do think, unfortunately, one of the reasons the Chiefs might struggle offensively early is, you know, one of the big fixes for them was to bring Eric Bieniemy back into the fold. And we brought that up yesterday of the tragedy that's going on right now in his family, how that will impact him. Is this Rick Dennison, Clint Kubiak thing going to work? I'm sorry, I said Rick Dennison first. Sorry, Rick Dennison. Loved Rick Dennison, Michael. But is this Kubiak-Dennison thing going to work that quickly? Is it going to be one of those things where Kirk Cousins is good for a little bit, putting up big numbers, and then it slowly starts to unravel? I do think if they can really fix this offensive line, you could see Ashton Jeanty start to look like the Ashton Jeanty that we saw for the Boise State Broncos. You know, I know he got a lot of, you know, he's a Mountain West guy. He's not going to make it in the league. He almost ran for 1,000 yards. As a rookie with the worst offensive line in the NFL, if they can make enough tweaks on that line, get the guys back, the Colton Millers back from injury, the Jackson Powers Johnson, get those guys back from injury and healthy, then maybe you have enough playmakers to do something. I'm going to break this down on Friday. I definitely don't see the Raiders winning the division. But could they surprise some people? That will be kind of the question. And can Kirk Cousins outlast Father Time? Can he put up enough performances where he remains the starter his first year with the Raiders and Fernando Mendoza's rookie year?
Unless he's a horrible gambler, he will. His contract will outlast Father Time.
Oh, you think his? Oh, yeah. No, I mean, the guy's good at making money. He's a Hall of Fame moneymaker. I'll tell you that. If there's a Hall of Fame for guys that just know how to get paid, Kirk Cousins is that dude.
I mean, he's probably the best quarterback in contract years. Oh, I need to make more money. Going to have a great
year. So that would mean he's going to have a bad year because he just signed a contract with the Raiders then. So
I think he's going to get benched.
Well, that's the plan. That's kind of what they – I don't know that there's these grand hopes of the Raiders being a contender over there. And I know, oh, Brady, you got to play it. Everybody plays, win the game. Blah. You also have to be realistic a bit. But I think also they did this for a reason. Hey, let's have Kirk Cousins in for the first half of the season. And when things inevitably go south, it's time to put in the rook and see what he's got.
Yeah, the Raiders are going to be – so you said something about Pete Carroll quickly.
Yeah.
I think Seattle has now fooled two fan bases. They fooled us with Russell. They fooled the Raiders with their old coach.
So what was it then for Seattle? Just damn good defense and Marshawn Lynch? And that was it? And that fooled us all? To believe in
that Carroll was a lot of the team.
That Carroll was a good coach and Wilson was a good quarterback? I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, Wilson Carroll did call that pass on the goal line.
He did. And Russell was good, man. That's the thing. I think we do forget, but it was, as Seahawks fans will tell you that watched every game, they're like, yeah, he was heroic in a lot of games. But it wasn't like that for a full game. What does that sound like right now? 49 minutes after the hour. What did we learn? Coming up next.
The summer months can be busy.
I'm busy!
Keep up with the latest in local news, sports, and weather on Good Morning NoCo. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on The Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Time flies when you're having fun. We learned that maybe the Wyoming Cowboys, like the Rams, are going to have a mobile quarterback, so we might see some hot, nasty speed in the Mountain West. I don't think either of us are very much sold on the idea that the Raiders are going to have a quick turnaround with Clint Kubiak. Michael, what did you learn today, buddy?
I learned that no matter how much you and I think that baseball going on strike will be a detriment to the league, Tanner disagrees with us.
And I don't disagree with the idea that they should go on a lockout. I just think that the lockout's probably going to hurt the league. All right, that's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.